This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is all too easy to allow yourself to not spend much time at all thinking about our next subject, trash. Yep, you bag it up, you haul it out to the curb on trash day, then you drag the empty garbage cans back to the side of the garage, and maybe you'll toss your plastic bottles, cans, and newspapers into a recycling bin. But once that garbage truck lumbers off with your trash tucked inside, it's real easy not to give it a second thought. Writer Mark Kurlianchik decided to give our trash a more than second thought. His recent story in Our Detroit magazine called Waste Matters is a real entertaining eye-opener, both in terms of learning how much waste and trash we really generate and what you have to do with it. So Mark joins us now in the studio. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.
What led you to take such a deep dive into what to many people is a fairly unappealing topic, and you made it really interesting?
Well, it's exactly what you were talking about in your opening. After the trash is gone, where does it go? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just one simple question, where does it go? So I decided to track it. That took me down this rabbit hole where this whole world of garbage really opened up for me. It's a really complex issue, and just in the state alone, there are so many different aspects of it. It's really tough to kind of get down into one, 3,500-word feature. So we had a little more fun with bringing in some images and doing some fun illustrations to make it more accessible.
Well, one thing I learned when it comes to generating garbage, the USA can chant, we're number one because we are. What does being the world's number one producer of garbage really mean in terms of what you and I are producing every year?
Well, so the average American produces, it's something like 4.5 pounds of trash per day.
And you say in your story, that's about the weight of a MacBook.
Yeah, I figured that would be something that everyone kind of knows the weight of.
So that's each one of us every day.
Every day. And this is an average, of course.
Sure.
So some more, some less. But just to put into perspective, the U.S. makes up 4% of the world's population. But we generate 30% of the global waste.
So we're big old hogs.
Oh, yes, we are. And a lot of it has to do with our culture of consumerism. Since the 1960s, municipal solid waste generation, and that's all the stuff that you and I generate on a day-to-day basis that goes into just the regular trash can, has tripled. In the meantime, it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah, and you find out into your story, you say more than half of that trash, the 250 million tons of trash, more than half goes into landfills. But before we get into landfills here in Michigan, what do we do with the rest of the trash?
It's either composted, recycled, or incinerated. Mm. Those are the three biggies.
All right, but let's talk landfills now. Yeah. You went to Pine Tree Acres Landfill, which just sounds serene and lovely.
And you know what? It was surprising that the area around it really is serene and lovely because there's a Wildlife Habitat Council certified wetlands that's protected by the landfill. And Waste Management, the company who runs Pine Tree Acres, has now protected something like 20,000 acres. And it's just something you don't think about, that next to a landfill you'd have wetlands and there's ducks and geese and frogs and deer, waterfowl. So from the top of the landfill, it was actually quite beautiful to see. And they keep the garbage relegated to just a small area of the landfill. But it was totally unexpected for me.
Well, there you were in northern Macomb County at Pine Tree Acres Landfill. And one expert did say to you, I think people would come away with a very different understanding if they visited a landfill. So apart from the fact that it was surrounded by some lovely area, what else surprised you and what did you learn?
Well, if there's one thing I can say, doing this story that I would recommend for all of our readers and all of your listeners is to just call up your landfill operator and ask for a tour. Many of them have a community relations representative. They do educational things. Schools come through. And a lot of them are open to it because I think that there's this great misconception about landfills. And it's something I had before I started the story. I kind of thought of it as just this open pit, a big hole in the ground
where you just— festering garbage.
Yeah, you just, you plow garbage into it and that's it. And that's just not the case. It used to be the case. It started to change in about 1970 when then former President Nixon created the EPA, and then Congress adapted some. We finally started to think about what we were doing to our environment, and I think things really started to change then. So back then we had something like 20,000 open dumps, and these were totally unregulated. A township could just have a big hole in the ground where they stuffed all their trash.
Okay. And then plowed it, covered it up.
Nowadays, exactly.
Eventually,
nowadays, we're down to something like 1,900 across the entire country. So in the state of Michigan, we have about 50. It's 49 of these municipal solid waste landfills, and they're highly, highly regulated. I mean, it takes it's a huge engineering feat. They have to prepare the land to accept trash, and it costs a lot of money to do. I mean, it's just not what you think of. They suck the gases that are created by the decomposing waste out of the landfill. There's groundwater wells, so they test the groundwater to make sure that it's not leaching out into the surrounding area. It's a feat of engineering, really.
And they even use the term leachate. Leachate,
yeah, that's gross.
I just shudder to think what is in that leachate, but it's the liquids that come.
Correct.
But it's actually used in the landfill to help further the disintegration of the garbage.
Right. There's research that's been shown that the leachate, when it's reintroduced back, and I hope no one's eating lunch right now, as it's introduced back, it increases the temperature of the waste, and that speeds up the degradation process. So most of it is at least at Pine Tree Acres, is reintroduced back into the landfill, and then the rest is hauled away to a wastewater treatment facility.
What can you tell us? Waste Management's a huge company out of Texas, and it does seem from what you're describing, this is not something that lends itself to being a mom-and-pop operation.
No, absolutely not.
What's their track record? Are they very involved in these ones in Michigan?
With the landfills in Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Waste Management is the number one.
Okay.
You know, there are some smaller operators, but they're the biggest one. But not only that, I think one of the other surprising things that I learned was that Waste Management is also the largest recycler in the country, in addition to being the largest waste management company. And now they're really starting to shift. These wetlands were part of a sustainability plan that they adopted in 2007. Mm-hmm. So that includes they're also starting to convert some of this landfill gas into energy. So Pine Tree Acres alone, this one, and I should say that it is the largest landfill in Michigan.
Okay, and it's there in Macomb County, so
correct.
It's in the Tri-County
Township
area.
Yeah, correct. So they generate there are two landfill gas to energy facilities. They take the methane out of the landfill and actually convert them through these engines into power, into electricity. It's pumped back into the grid, and something like 22,000 homes are powered by this landfill gas energy facility. So that's just one example of what Waste Management is starting to do.
What is it like being a neighbor of Pine Tree Acres?
Well,
is that a mixed blessing?
There's a thing with landfills. It's called not in my backyard, NIMBY, shorthand. We're fine with getting rid of our garbage and not seeing it again,
but unless
we live right next door to the landfill.
Right.
And there was a class action lawsuit filed by some of the neighbors at Pine Tree Acres or near or around Pine Tree Acres because there was debris blowing. There was
smells.
Smells, yeah. But part of that went into the settlement for this class action lawsuit. Part of it was this new landfill gas to energy facility, which is like a $15 million facility. And so in good faith, Pine Tree Acres built this facility, and that's supposed to help with the smell because it takes some of the gas out of the air and converts it into energy.
We're talking with writer Mark Kurlianchik, whose piece in Our Detroit magazine is called Waste Matters, looking at garbage and trash, and it was in the December 2012 issue of Our Detroit magazine. You know, Mark, I noticed it was startling how much cheaper it is for municipalities to get rid of their solid waste in Michigan landfills. I see $25 to $30 a ton.
Mm-hmm.
National average is $40 to $50 a ton. So why is Michigan such a garbage bargain?
Well, part of that has to do with the low state fees. It costs about 36 cents per ton is what the state charges. It's a state surcharge in Michigan for waste to be dumped in a landfill. By comparison, in Wisconsin, it's $13 a ton. Now, Wisconsin is the highest state, but you can see the difference, 36 cents a ton versus $13 a ton. So that's part of it. The second part of it is, and this is according to Mike Garfield of the Ecology Center right here in Ann Arbor, his reasoning for it was that in the 90s, Michigan was just citing landfills willy-nilly and kind of, we made more space than we needed for ourselves.
All right.
So as a result of that, we are now also the number three importer of out-of-state trash.
And is that a bad thing? I mean, I know we had a lot coming from Canada.
Yeah, it depends on who you ask because it is a business.
It's a business.
However, just a number to consider, and this comes from the Michigan Recycling Coalition. 10,000 tons of trash, of waste, let's call it waste.
Waste, okay.
10,000 tons of waste creates, to process that waste, creates one landfill job, four jobs if it was composted, if possible, 10 jobs if it can be recycled.
Okay.
So it's, you know, importing waste is good for us because we also export a lot of waste. This is a huge regional operation. It's not something that we're just importing all the trash. Mm-hmm. We're also getting rid of some of our hazardous waste. We're sending it to Canada. However, it's just not economically feasible anymore. Mm. Because, you know, land, you can pay $25 a ton to a municipality, you can pay $25 a ton to dispose of it in landfills.
Right.
Or you can do something which waste management is starting to do and invest in some of these new technologies, which are actually taking hard-to-process materials that end up in waste.
Things like maybe disposable diapers?
Disposable diapers, yeah. Or
the grocery bags, the plastic grocery bags.
Well, those are tough. Those are very tough.
Yes, yes.
But things like small pieces of cardboard and plastic.
Okay.
And they're turning it into these pellets that can burn at nearly the same BTU as coal. And, of course, you can charge for selling these pellets.
Sure enough.
So, I mean, really the issue is we're burying materials that we can do so much more with.
That's interesting. Now, Michigan's landfills, you know, are going to reach capacity in 24 years, yet you had experts saying, no, Mark, there's no crisis. Why is that?
Well, the 24-year number comes from the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. And the way that they come up with that number, and it changes every year, it's based on cells that have already – a cell is just a portion of a landfill that can accept waste.
Okay.
It is based on cells that have already been sited. So that means that they've been approved to receive waste.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are more and more of these cells being built every year, and that doesn't include land that the landfill – like, say, Pine Tree Acres, they own land adjacent to the landfill.
So they can expand.
That they can expand to. They say that there are parts of it that they just own that they won't expand, but – you know, if worst comes to worst.
Mm-hmm.
So that 24-year number is a moving figure. And also because there are these new technologies coming aboard, including this leachate reintroduction, that are just, they're making things degrade faster and allowing us to basically make better use of the space that we have.
Let's talk about recycling. You say that's really an important thing.
And
what's Michigan's track record with recycling? Where do we stand compared to the rest of the country?
The biggest problem is that we just don't know anymore because our last comprehensive study of the recycling rate in Michigan was done in 2001.
Ooh.
Yeah, we don't have the money to even look at how we're doing. Exactly. Yeah, that one was funded with help from the EPA, done by the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, and it found that we were at 20%, which is well below the national average of 34%. Now, you look at a city like San Francisco, of course, they're a little more progressive. They have a good tax base. 80% they just surpassed.
Wow.
80%.
We have a long way to go.
We do have a long way to go.
Does that matter more in terms of policy or the market or personal responsibility? Or?
Well, that's great that you brought up all three because it really has to do with all three. Policy is important because right now, in 2007, then-Governor Granholm enacted our current solid waste policy, mm-hmm. which encourages a recycling rate of 50%. Now, if we were to get there, that would be about $500 million just in materials alone that we could sell or, you know, an economic benefit. However, it just encourages it. It doesn't actually provide any money for establishing infrastructure for that.
Okay.
So back to the Michigan Recycling Coalition, they've done a study that found that it would cost about $76 million in infrastructure upgrades, changes in policy. You know, I mean, we're talking single stream recycling processing facilities. Single stream, I should say, is you can put all of your recyclables in one container,
mm-hmm.
And you don't need to sort them.
That's what we have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I throw in my if I can fit all my newspapers. If not, I put them in a separate brown bag. But yeah, we throw our plastic and our metal, and it all goes in the one tub.
So that's the policy angle. The market mm-hmm. is also starting to meet the demands of recycling because of the cost of materials. Plastic is starting, you know, we're realizing that, hey, it's easier to just reuse this stuff than make it brand new again. And then the third leg is, as you mentioned, personal responsibility. Every time that you throw out, you know, a newspaper and you throw it into the trash rather than the recycling bin, mm-hmm. you are in essence voting for landfills and voting to dispose of the waste in this way rather than reuse it through recycling.
So when I throw that plastic yogurt container in the trash,
right,
and as opposed to rinsing it and putting it in the recycling
correct,
bin.
Yeah.
Well, you actually kind of took an interesting journey of tracking what you generated in trash for 2 weeks. What did you learn?
How difficult it is to track your trash. It's really tough to decide when something becomes your trash. Right now I'm drinking out of this paper cup,
mm-hmm.
which you, you know, your producer yes. so kindly provided for
yes.
me. And, you know, there are two baskets
yes.
here, but if I just left this here
yeah.
on the desk here, would this be my trash or would this be Michigan Radio
okay.
trash? So that's part of the problem. And also, what about the manufacturer of this cup?
Uh-huh.
Are they responsible for creating the trash?
Hmm.
So that was just, I mean, that was
yeah.
the toughest part was deciding when something became my own rather than somebody else's.
What did you learn about what you throw away and perhaps what we could all do differently?
Well, I learned that it's really not so tough to make these minor adjustments. I mean, we're not talking like a huge lifestyle change
mm-hmm.
here. This is, you know, using the, if you have the option in the bathroom, use the blow dryer or the dryer, the air dryer rather than the napkins or
yeah.
the paper, yeah. Or using less of them when you can. When you have the option of recycling, do so. Don't use a plastic bottle. You know, use like you have here. You have mm-hmm. the reusable bottles.
Yeah. So yeah, that I fill from the tap.
It's these minor adjustments that you can make, and of course, there's more to it than that. But these minor adjustments are a good start. And I mean, if we all made that, think of the impact that would make.
Now, archaeologists have learned over the centuries. I actually studied archaeology in college,
okay.
and it was fascinating to realize what the Bronze Age people in Ireland were living like by
mm-hmm.
studying
mm-hmm.
the trash
right.
that was found in
right.
those digs. So you learn a lot about a society and people about what they throw away. So what do you think our landfills say about us in 2013?
Well, I think Mike Garfield from the Ecology mm-hmm. Center said it best in my piece, and he said, you know, that people are going to look back, you know, 40, 50 years from now and say, why the hell was everyone throwing away all this good stuff and putting it into, you know, and just covering it up with dirt when they could have been reusing it?
So we hope that we'll see that fact 50 years down the road or so that things
right.
will be reused.
Yeah.
Writer Mark Curlianchik's piece is called Waste Matters. Thanks so much for talking with
Thanks
us
so
today
much for
on
having
Stateside.
Me.